All right, well, welcome everyone to today's webinar. It's July 8, 2015. Hope everybody had an amazing July 4th. Travis got back in the office yesterday. I got back in the office this morning. We hope you enjoyed it with your family and friends and neighbors and everything else. We had a wonderful time up in the mountains of Utah, and I think a lot of you saw the email that we sent out with a picture of us up there, and then Travis and I'm up in Canada, so hopefully you had just as an equally enjoyable time. What wasn't fun was the long car drives back that each of us had, but that's the nature of traveling in the vehicle with a bunch of kiddos. So hope everybody enjoyed our great independence celebration. So we are going to kick off today. So welcome everybody to the Paper Profits Mastermind Group Training Webinar. Travis has joined us today, and we also have Kristen on the line as well. I just wanted to give a couple updates that we have. If you haven't RSVP'd yet in the members area for the Seller Finance and Trust workshop that we have next week, please do so. You just need to log into the members area and then go to the live events tab and then RSVP accordingly. So you'll need to do it twice if you're bringing, you know, your partner or spouse. That would be great. And even if you plan on only coming, you know, one of the 2 days, please just go ahead and RSVP so we get an idea of the head count. I think we have a little over 30 already, and that's a combination of people just attending a workshop for the first time and then members coming back for repeat attendance. So again, that's July 16th and 17th back at the Hilton San Diego Resort and Spa, same place we had NIS. If you go to notetools.com/July workshop, you'll be able to see all the guest speakers and topics and everything that we'll be covering, as well as some upcoming law changes and everything else. So we have a great lineup of speakers and a great amount of content. So we look forward to everybody's participation in that and coming prepared with the questions that you may have, and look forward to an awesome time together. So we'll start every day at 9 a.m. and then we'll end around 5:30 on day one, we'll end at 5 p.m. on the second day on the 17th. For those of you that aren't able to make it live in person, as always, we'll have it recorded, both video and audio, and we'll provide that to you within the next following week. It will be posted in the members area so you can partake in all of that awesome content experience. Of course, it's always better to attend live, but we understand if you can't make it all the way out here. One of the things that we're going to do is I'm going to let you leave this slide up here so you can see all the upcoming days and times and topics that will be covered. I was talking to John this morning, and we're going to, when you log into the members area, we're going to have a list of all of the member benefits that come with part of being part of this mastermind and funding group. So that way you'll know exactly what it is every time you log in, and you know, a list of all of the awesome benefits we're providing. In addition, some more information on how to access our weekly training calls if we do it via GoToWebinar, if we use Uber Conference, and you know, how we deliver the information and the updates that you'll receive, just so you always have a starting point to be able to access all that. So as part of your membership benefit, you get to attend our workshops that we do on a monthly basis for you and your partner or spouse. So we look forward to having you in attendance to each of those. And again, we also have the gearing up to start marketing and promoting NIS Live January 20 through the 23rd. Bonus day is included, and you get a free upgrade to VIP status. So look forward to, and you can just go to nodeinvestorsummit.com to go through all that information. Let's see. Before we kick off today's training, we'll be covering the pre- and post-foreclosure checklist walkthrough, and then we'll do some Q&A as it pertains to this training at the end of the call as well. Kristen worked really hard to take some of the information that we've taught in previous workshops and distill down a little further and to go over some more additional explanation. If you do have questions, we'll be monitoring the chat, so just go ahead in the GoToWebinar control panel there, and just underneath the questions there you can be able to pose those there and just type your message accordingly. So awesome. And looks like everybody's good to go there. So just under the questions, you can chat that over to us. So look forward to that. Travis, did you have any updates or comments before I kick things over to Kristen to go through today's training? Let's see.
Can you hear me okay? I just unmuted there. Can you
hear
me?
You're good. Yep, you're A-okay.
Okay, very good. Just some of the stuff that we're going through today is a result of some actual deals that, you know, we have several that we're in foreclosure on, several that we have sale dates on, and specifically we're looking at two properties that we're actually, we've taken back, and this checklist is a result of, okay, here's the things we're doing to get this property, as it's in REO status, we're actually choosing to rent both of these properties due to, is there feedback there? That's some aggressive feedback. So anyway, but so that's where this is coming from on these checklists, and we'll continue as we make any key additions to them. We'll be sure to push those right back out to you guys as well. So, you know, I'm going to let Kristen go through that as well, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. Kristen, are you on the line? Can you unmute yourself?
I am. I'm on the line. Am I heard?
Yep.
Yeah, we sound you crystal clear. You sound great.
Awesome. I just wanted to take a moment and thank you both for allowing me to share some of the practical applications that I run up against on a day-to-day. Some of these things that we get to that you're allowing me to share with the members, I've never seen or heard out there. So I just wanted to say thank you. Makes you different from the rest. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate all your hard work.
I'll pick up your lunch tab later for that nice comment, Kristen.
Kristen, I'm gonna change the I'm gonna move the controls over to you at this time so that you can, if you want to pull up the presentation and hit present over on your screen, then you'll be able to control it and do accordingly. So I'm gonna make that transition right now.
Okay.
And you should have control now.
All right. Let me know if everybody can see it okay.
Okay, just hit the present button.
Present.
It's just loading there.
Oh.
Awesome. You're ready to go.
Okay.
There you go.
So this is a critical step, and I want to start by saying that this list is it's not including everything that could potentially happen out there. So this is an evolving list. It's always growing. If at any time you find something in your process that could make our checklist better, please do not hold back and share. So before and during and after the foreclosure process, everybody knows that there are some critical tasks that need to take place. So there are many steps in that process, and there could be some roadblocks that can incur. You know, and these roadblocks are not deal breakers, but they could hinder your timeline from getting your property actually out there on the market and rented and sold in a timely fashion, or whatever your exit strategy that you choose to take place. So this pre and post foreclosure checklist has been created, and I'm testing it currently against a loan that just we recently foreclosed on as of June 1st. So again, I say this, that this list is not all inclusive, and it's an ongoing project that it will be growing. So stay tuned for changes and implements as we grow. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was clear on that.
And let me just add one quick thing to that, Kristen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was going to add really quick. We have several people in the group who have loans, some that they've already foreclosed on, and others who are in that process. And so, you know, some of this pre-foreclosure stuff, if there are items that we can be adding in, we'll be working with some of you guys. We know who you are. We know what phase you're in on some of those loans. And we'll actually be working with you to make sure that we, you know, really put together a solid, solid checklist, because, you know, we don't claim to have every little item, but what's good with the mastermind effect of the group, it's going to be very powerful as we get through some of these processes. So be sure, you know, you guys know who you are, and the rest of you guys in the group will obviously benefit. But whatever stages that you're in, you know, be sure to submit in and share with us as we are in touch with you. So very good.
Great. Thank you. So the most important question I know you all are going to ask is, how do I get my hands on this checklist and where do I find it? So on this slide, you can see that that's a screenshot of the actual member site and the area of the resources, so that you can kind of see as a visual that you can quickly navigate to find the actual tool. And I'm always here for you if you ever have issues and can't find something. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the pre-foreclosure checklist. And again, this is including but not limited to list. So you're always going to check your title position, making sure of what clouds you are aware of, and making sure your position, your equity position, and just clouds and title. So that's the number one. If you are planning on foreclosing, you've already referred to an attorney, just ask the attorney for a copy of the title, because it's part of their initial milestones to be completed is to pull a title report. You're already paying for it, so just ask for a copy. Okay, check your value. Make sure, how much coverage do you have? Do you have full equity? Do you have no equity? Value is a critical mark, and you're going to be subject to the first, so you kind of want to see what you're up against. If your exit strategy is going to be renting the property, you're going to want to do your due diligence in finding out what the average rents are in that area. When you're looking at average rents, just make sure that properties have just to give you an example, the property that we're working with now has an outdoor kitchen, and it has several upgrades that have taken place on the property. So that plays a part when you're listing it for a rent. The more to the property, the more that you can charge. So just make sure you do your homework and you're not selling yourself short.
Real quick on that, Kristen, on average rents, I was just going to say, a lot of you know that we use Rentometer is kind of a common website, rentometer.com. But, you know, some of you, if you're a licensed agent, have access to RPR Online. And one thing we wanted to add that is powerful, and I feel like if it's a first property that you have that you end up taking back in a certain area, you know, I strongly suggest really interviewing specifically if it's legitimate, and you are going to be using them regardless. On some of the markets we're in, we'll be property managing ourselves, but if we're going to be using, property managers have their pulse on the market, and you can interview three of them and actually have them come back and say, hey, here's what this property would rent for. So that's really good to know. The earlier on in that process, the better, just as you make your decisions. Go ahead,
and that's
Kristen.
That's a very good point, because right here is where I'm reaching out for boots on the ground, REO brokers, trying to build those relationships if I don't already have them. So that's a critical step also. Okay, so once we have locked down the status of our senior lien, we've ordered our payoff, we've ordered a reinstatement, we kind of know exactly where we're at, we know if there's a principal deferment, we know what the payoff is, we know if it's current, we know the ins and outs, everything that we want to do. Now we want to ask ourselves, do we want to reinstate if it is delinquent, or is it performing, and do we want to go ahead and possibly negotiate with the first to purchase it as a discount? So that's kind of where it's just your personal strategy on what you want to do. Each investor is going to be different on that step.
And one comment on the reinstatement. A lot of times you'll have numbers that come through on a payoff, and when the reinstatement has a set of numbers, and you don't always have to come in with the full amount that you're behind, and we're finding that out on a couple of properties we're doing now. The payoff quote has, you know, what the back interest is, what some of the other things are. There's some impounds if it's actually one of the loan mods there that is calling for the impound account. Some of those are required on the reinstatement amount. Some of them are not. So obviously, we like to come out of pocket with the least amount possible. And in many cases, if we're it's our own capital, you know, shouldn't be any different than if you're actually borrowing private money to come in for your reinstatement, which would take on a second lien on property you've already foreclosed on. So
yeah, that's great. And your reinstatement quotes are going to be broken. You'll see them a lot. Anytime that you are working with a bankruptcy, they are going to be split in pre-petition and post-petition. So just know that post-petition, anything post-petition is after BK filing date. Pre-petition is before. So those are broken down on your reinstatement and your payoffs. Okay? We can always take that offline if somebody needs some additional clarification.
Okay, and then comment really quick, Chris, and just on, you know, from a high level, just the process of ordering your reinstatements.
Ordering a reinstatement is similar to ordering a payoff. You have to provide a good through date, and that's about it. So if you're working with Ocwen, you can do it online just as if you do your others, your payoffs, your pay histories. For SPS, SLS, NationStar, PNC, Chase, that's where you're going to have to put it in writing, or you can do it through the automated system. Always use your promptings so that you can find out if it's going to incur a fee. If it incurs a fee, at this stage, I go ahead and proceed with it, because by this time, I usually always have a borrower's authorization. Okay.
That's a very, very key document. If you don't have it and you're the second lien holder, we can work with you on how to get the lender to talk to you. So just reach out to us individually as well. So very good.
Okay, so I wanted to jump back on track. I apologize for getting off topic. Determine the equity position. Just making sure, do you have full coverage? Do you have partial coverage? Are you in a position, if they file BK, could they potentially strip you? You just kind of want to look at all of those numbers right there to determine that. Your BK check is just going to be, it's borrowers are notorious for obtaining an attorney and filing BK the day before sale. So you just want to go ahead and do a PACER check before you initiate foreclosure, and your attorneys are going to be doing the same before sale, before bidding, before publishing. They're going to be doing a PACER check as well. They're going to charge you for a PACER check, so you might as well do your due diligence before you get to that step. Okay? After you've completed this milestone in the foreclosure, you're already going full throttle and you're going to sale. That's when you're going to be submitting your bidding instructions to your foreclosure attorney. Every state is different. Please refer to your advice. I'm not here to give you legal advice, but every state is different. Some states require to be published in the newspaper a month before the sale. So just just refer to your attorney. That's why you're hiring them, and that's why that they're licensed in that state to know the ins and outs. Okay? So submit your bid, and then boom, you're going to sale.
Hey, real quick on that, just backing up, I got a question coming in here from David, and he talked about, let me just back up a slide there real quick, Kristen, and okay. He just said, you know, I've tried to negotiate a discount with the first as an individual buyer with no luck. Do we have more clout holding on the second? Are they more willing to negotiate with us? And David, for us, this is where I think the power of the mastermind group is going to come in. You know, we're trying a couple of different scenarios. We've got one scenario where we have already taken title, and going back and negotiating, they're a little more of a hard stance right now what we're up against. So we actually have someone that's buying the property from us, and we're working on getting a short payoff where they'll come in and do that. So, you know, we'll see. Typically a short sale, they have to have the participation of the borrower. So, you know, it's going to be, they're still going to be buying the note, but it typically isn't the person that holds title. So as we work together on some of these, I definitely, and we're now in this process, I know it's going to take a little bit of time, but we have three of them right now that we're looking at. Two of them, we may opt to just keep the actual financing in place because they're literally the floor rate of 2% on these modifications, which... I don't know about you guys, if anyone's got a source for money at 2%, you know, let me know, because we'll line people up to borrow. But these are just great, great rates. You know, we've got one at 117,000. I think the other one's at 129,000 with a big fat deferred principal that got added onto the back. But I mean, those are, I can't go get that money in those chunks at 2% anymore. So we'll probably leave those in place. But the other one is underwater, you know, versus what the property's worth versus what's owed on it. So that one we will be trying to do this. So anyway, hopefully that helps. Let me see. Oh, there we go. Very good. So if there's any more questions on that, David asked, but I look forward to reporting back. And if there's any of you guys that get to this stage and think you might have one of these, let's work together on them. So that'd be great. Okay.
And,
thank you, Kristen.
Travis. Hey, Travis, I just wanted to add that it is smarter to, if you want to negotiate with the senior lien holder, to come in as a private party and not come in as the second lien holder.
Very good.
And that's from personal experience.
Yeah, and that's a key piece of information. Okay, after the foreclosure sale has taken place, where are we at?
Okay, so now we are at step one on the next slide. So now the sale has taken place. Now a whole new process is starting. So the most important step, you need to meet with your investors. It may very well be yourself, but if you're an asset manager, you need to meet with your investors and talk about a budget. Okay? As we talk about this portion of the checklist, you're gonna see that makes sense, and I can't tell you enough how important it is to figure out right up front what's your cap of what you want to spend on this piece of property. You would be surprised of what little nickel and dimes things, you know, it adds up. So verify occupancy. So we just want to make sure, is the property vacant, or do we have an owner? Do we have a tenant in there? Do we have the prior owner? Now we have to evict. Okay. So in the event that it is vacant, it's very state by state. So you're just going to have to do your research and find out if it's in that state, if it's required for you to register it as vacant.
And one
your
thing,
foreclosure attorney. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say one thing that didn't make it on here that I'm just realizing is obtaining a copy. If it's a deed of trust state, you'll typically have a TDUS, a trustee's deed upon sale. And depending on the municipality that you're evicting in, you know, what county, whatever, you're going to need the actual copy of that. Like, it's a certified copy, and they give that. We've ran into that two different times now. So just make sure you've got that and just get a copy of it. It would not be the one that you get digitally. It needs to be one.
It's referenced as the original.
Exactly, the original. So just make sure of that, and that's just a simple, you just got to order it, get early on in the process, and you can work through your foreclosure trustee or your foreclosure attorney in either of those. So that's a very important piece of information that actually slowed us down and cost us 2 weeks on one, but I think we've got it now in the checklist, and I'll make sure that step gets added here right up above. So.
And the reason why it's so important is because in the event that you do need to evict and you're going to court, the judge wants to see that original. They don't want to see a copy. They want to see original. So if you're going to have to go to court, don't even bother going to court without it.
Very good. There's a good question that just came in about, you mentioned something about negotiating with the first as a private party versus the second lien holder. Would you elaborate more on that?
Thank you, Gloria. Good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you were a bank and you have a performing first, and I come to you and say, hey, I want you to take the haircut. I want you to sell me that note at a discount because I'm in second position and I want the asset. Whether or if you came saying, I'm Max ROI Media, and I want to make an offer on this piece of collateral. It just it's separate, and they consider it similar to an unarmed length transaction. So that's why I say, just from experience, if you don't want to get any initial pushback, I know that y'all have a lot of partners and you have a lot of connections in this membership group. It's just a smart thing to have one of your partners negotiate on your notes.
And to add to that, Kristen mentioned a performing note. We have seen discounts on performing notes, but typically here, where you're looking to get a nice discount is going to be where the note's actually non-performing, and at times the property might even be vacant. If it's vacant, the property's beat up, you know, and it's not performing, that's where you're going to pick up some better deals. So hopefully that helps. So yeah, so that I see that, Gloria, what you put in there. So yeah, they will be willing to work with you. Depending on, this is a big part as well, if the actual asset, if they can peel it off. Sometimes it's part of a larger trust. You know, some of these things have been part of a bigger block that is bought and sold together, and they don't have the ability to pull that asset out. But with a lot of these servicers now, that they are having the ability to pull off some of these assets one at a time and do that. But if you can't, they let you know right up front. So hopefully that's helpful to you guys.
Yeah, that's a great point, because not all servicers have delegated authority to make those decisions for the investor.
Great point.
Okay, so now we left off on if it's vacant, register eviction. You're going to have to go the eviction attorney route. If you wanted to go ahead and reach out to us, we have some personal experience with some eviction attorneys on the West Coast. So I'm more than happy to share the folks that I would recommend and the folks I would not recommend. Property taxes and homeowners insurance. So you're on your payoff on your senior lien, you're going to want to kind of do some research and find out, is it impounded, so that you know if the property taxes are delinquent, if the homeowner's insurance is delinquent or current, lost payee clause, the landlord policy. So there's a lot that you want to know if the property taxes and homeowner's insurance is impounded in the first mortgage. Okay. The next step is electricity and water. So if the property is vacant, you're going to need to get the electricity and the water transferred over to your name and get it running as soon as possible. For our Arizona properties, it's very critical that you don't let that house get too hot, because it's going to take days to cool it back down to get the contractors back in there to even do the work. On the flip side, on your extremely cold Ohio, you know, just the same, but, you know, in reverse. Water? Go ahead.
I was going to just add one resource here. You know, on properties, this is a big resource that we can add in here in terms of your boots on the ground. We've talked about this in the past, but reobroker.com. We continue to reach out to brokers in this network and have had really, really good luck working with really great people that have, you know, the average experience on these people, they've been in the business for 15 plus years. So I strongly caution you to not abuse the relationships. You know, we just sent out asked what they'd feel comfortable with. You know, one of them said $50 just to go out and do this, and they, you know, helped us change out locks, helped us do a bunch of things. We thought, man, I want them to always take our call. Every time we call, we actually sent a check for $100. And it was just something where it worked out. We got a lot of the answers we needed. They had resources that we needed. In this case, we didn't end up selling the property. In some cases, you would. But in this case, we're going to end up leasing out the property. But we got cleaning. We got all of the referrals that we need. I think you're going to talk about that on the next slide. But it's just it's a little gold mine, especially when we're not there.
So I just wanted to go back on electricity. Just be aware that, and be ready that you will need to make a deposit. And the reason being is unless you've had electricity turned on in that state, the chances are you're not going to be in their system, and so they'll require a deposit. If you do turn that property around and get it rented out quickly, that deposit is going to be refunded back to you once it's transferred, you know, the utilities are transferred over to the new tenant. Again, water. There, in this case, there was no upfront fees, and the initial deposit would be added to that first bill. So again, it'll be refunded, or you can pass that on to the tenant if you quickly turn the property around.
And let me add this while you're getting ready to switch slides here. There could be people on the call who are saying, "Hey, I got into the notes business to be more passive. This looks pretty active." And one thing I would tell you, we do have loans where we go through a lot of this analysis on the pre-foreclosure side on our checklist, and we don't foreclose. We actually put them on the shelf and say, this one, the interest is still accruing, values are coming up, it's not quite where we want it to be yet. So we do have some that we've opted not to do this on. The loan, the underlying loan, on the first is not as attractive. This is a case-by-case scenario that you would look and evaluate your exits. And if you have any questions on them, please reach out to us. But, you know, that we do have some we shelved. We do have one that we knew it was tenant occupied. And so our goal, we knew that the homeowner was collecting rents and not paying the first and obviously not paying us. So our goal was to foreclose. We'd already gone all the way down the road, and that asset, now the person pays us the money, and it just worked out that way. Will it always work out that way? No. You'll have someone that says, hey, I'm not going to pay. I'm going to move, stay here as long as I can. But this person really wanted to stay in the home and now pays us the rent, and we're working out. That's one of the ones we're talking about. And I'll just bring that up really right now really quick while we're talking about that point, because David just shared this with the group. A lot of times they say that when the note is in a pool of notes and you're trying to buy out that one note, they say, well, it can't because it's in a pool of notes and can't be bought as a one-off. But once it goes to foreclosure, it has to be pulled out so they can't do a one-off. So thanks for that clarification, Dave, because that's actually what we're working on right now, on a note that was part of a pool that could not be bought initially, and now that we've actually foreclosed, it's a different situation now. So very interesting, and that's something I wanted to add in there while we were doing it. So again, case by case, so be ready to just understand those different exits and what your priorities are, and if you have any thoughts about it and you get to that point, you want to bounce it off us and just have us give you the different angles on what to consider, because there are costs. Once you decide to foreclose, now there's additional monies that come out of pocket that don't have to come out of pocket while you're waiting, you know, for, you know, maybe another result if the property's occupied. If it's vacant, well, now that it's a different game. If it's tenant occupied, well, now there's different considerations. So just some thoughts there for you.
Great. Okay, so if no other questions right now, I'm just going to go ahead and jump to the next slide. The property.
You have questions, guys? Type them in the question box. If you got questions, just type them in the question box, and we'll get to them.
Okay. Property inspection. And when I say property inspection, I'm not talking about a property inspection as if you were purchasing a new property. I'm talking about an assessment of the property to see what work needs to be done to get that property to a turnkey status, so you can get a tenant in there. Okay, we're not talking about a full renovation. We're talking about what does it take to get to turnkey. We're going to be obtaining three bids for all work that needs to be done. So regardless of what needs to be done, we're going to obtain three bids, so that's just our standard practice, so that we can make sure that we're doing our due diligence and we're getting the best price out there that we can. Okay, pool service. If the property has a pool, you're going to want to look into that weekly service. Most likely, if you have a pool, you're going to be in an area that's warm And if you don't want it to turn into a lagoon, then it's recommended a weekly. Okay, the going rate is roughly between about 120 to 150. So if you're getting any pricing higher than that, then I would keep shopping. So yard service, that's going to be a case-to-case basis, because some yards are going to have rocks and it's going to be low maintenance, and then the yard service is going to just be passed on to the tenant. That's something that I ask the investor, if that's going to be included in the rent, or if the yard service is going to be a service that's passed on to the tenant's responsibility. Pool service, it's always a good idea to go ahead and include that in the rent, because you don't want to take a risk that they don't actually do what they say, and then your property is damaged. Okay, the cleaning service is a one-time deal. You're going to want to assess how much cleaning needs to be done, how many hours. The cleaning service is, they'll send two bodies usually, and they will charge for each body per hour. So make sure you know what you're getting into when you're asking for your bids. It can quickly turn into a large bill because they spend 10 hours there versus 3 hours. So just make sure you're clear of what you're asking for and when you're evaluating your bids. Okay, so HVAC service is in the event that your property has an air conditioning and then it needs to be serviced, maintained, or replaced. Again, we're getting three bids. On that property inspection or the assessment of work to be done, does it need to be fully painted or does it just need to be patched? Big, huge pricing difference, so just kind of assess the situation and take it case by case. Carpet cleaning, how long were the tenants or the owners in there prior, and check your laws for if it's required to have the carpets and floors cleaned prior to a new tenant being in, again with interior paint. Sewer trash is always going to be passed on to the tenant once it becomes rented, but until then you kind of want to keep your eye on that trash and sewer upkeep. And you're also going to, if people are being foreclosed on, they usually leave a lot of stuff behind. So if that's the case, you want to make sure that you have a big enough area for the trash to be in, because the maid service will not remove the trash. It will be an additional fee, and they won't put trash in their vehicles, so you need to have a receptacle for them to put the trash, and then it will need to be removed. Any questions on that slide?
No, we're good so far. Type them in, guys, if you've got them.
So at this point, I've gotten all the bids that I need to get done. I know what needs to be done on the property, and I just want to kind of to go over the estimates and crunch the numbers in the budget and revisit that with the investors so that we're all on the same page. And that, you know, I'm not approving anything that was outside of the scope of what needs to be approved. And so that's why that step is critical for me as an asset manager, that I need to go back to the investors and let them know. Okay, so we're discussing that work to be done. We're making a decision. We're going to select who we're going to go with. And then after all of the work is done, we're going to also go, most likely the relationship that you've built with your REO broker or any other boots on the ground, you're going to ask them just kind of do a courtesy run by and see if the work was truly complete, trash gone. Is it really ready to be listed? Is it ready to be viewed? So that's why that additional inspection, again, it's not a property inspection. It's just kind of a run through of the property to make sure that everybody did what they said they were going to do. When you're remote, that's a critical step. Okay, the next step, I'm going to lock down the exit strategy with the investors to make sure I know what their vision is. Do they want to lease it? Do they want to sell it? Do they want to rent it? Do they want to offer a lease option? What do they want to charge for rent? Are they going to charge a security deposit, pets allowed? yard service included, pool service? Will the car, is it an as-is property, or will there be additional works to be done before you'll give the keys over? So all that needs to be locked down before I can market the property to actually get somebody in there. Okay, so once I know exactly everyone's vision, what we're going to do, our exit strategy, the terms, everything, that's when I'm going to go ahead and market the property. Place the ad on Craigslist, because that's what we've, it's just what's worked for us. There's millions of different resources out there, but that is a free resource that's worked for us. So that's why we're using it.
Millions, there's millions, Kristen, of free resources?
There has to be.
I'm kidding.
Millions. Has to be.
We just haven't had the need to use anything besides Craigslist because it works like a charm. And we get all the traffic we've needed so far. And obviously, if someone opts to use a property management firm right from the get-go, I mean, you're basically, a lot of your vetting is done just to get comfortable with that company versus doing a lot of this. We just, this is an area where we're going to be buying more rentals. So we'll be more rentals and then turning around and creating notes, which we'll learn about on the 16th and 17th. And I know there's probably people wondering on this property, a lot of you are familiar with this property that we have in Arizona with our friend that strung it out in bankruptcy for so long. And in this situation, there are a few nuances with that will be reviewed on the 16th and 17th at the workshop. When you have a government loan mod, just to turn around and wrap it or sell it, as an all-inclusive trustee, there are just some legalities to it. And so until we're completely comfortable with those, we're opting just to rent the property. So we'll be able to, I know some of you are approaching this situation on a few of your assets as well. So please reach out to us, again, case-by-case basis. So we just want to make sure you've got this information to help you walk through it, not miss anything. And as we update it, we'll update it, the one that's actually posted in the members area for you.
Okay, so the last slide, I don't want to lose you guys, your attention, you've been so great to me. So now you're starting to get that you're inundated with calls. I'm getting 15 calls a day. So what I've done is I've created a log so that I keep them in order. So as people call in, I respect that and show the property in order as they called in. You're going to want to go ahead and get those folks that rental application. What I do is I email them with instructions and address to go ahead and send me back that application with the $25 application fee. Okay. I pull credit, pull a background, trace detail. Who are these folks? Kind of get to know who their character, and then we're going to go ahead and write that lease agreement once the tenant is actually chosen. Again, we're going to do another insurance check. Now that we have renters, we want to ask them to provide their renter's insurance, and we're going to go ahead and update that landlord policy so that we know we have coverage and that we are also listed out as the lost payee. You're going to complete your walkthrough checklist with the tenant, or you're going to have your property manager, your boots on the ground, whichever way that you prefer to do it. But it's very important that you all are on the same page when you're walking through a property. If you've ever rented a property, then you know how critical of a step this is to walk through the property, make that checklist, and then at that point, you're going to be managing the property from that point on. If you're not, this is only if you're doing an all-inclusive self-service cradle to grave. If you're going to be hiring a property manager, this list is probably going to be a lot different for you personally, but it is still good to know and have the knowledge of what they're doing into your property. Does anybody have any questions on this slide?
We actually did have a question come in. Do we require renter's insurance? That's personal preference. We do, and so that's a great question. Appreciate that question. So yes, we do. and maybe comment there on that renting gives time to clear title that you had there. That's one thing we found too. So if there are title issues, you can just get the property rented right away. So one more question here. If you're getting 15 calls a day, do you charge all of them the credit check charge of 25, or do you charge them as you eliminate previous applicants? So we've actually just – go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. But I've been charging anyone that wants to send in an application to be processed to apply. It would require a $25 fee.
So on that one, on that particular question, Gary, we've just gotten flooded with applications, so we haven't, you know, as we eliminate them, we haven't done that. So we are going to look at everybody. We do have our favorites already, but it's fair housing, right? So we don't want to be accused of picking one over the other. So, but there's a gentleman by the name of David Tilney who is considered by many, some of you might even know who he is on the call, but is considered to be the world-renowned expert on property management and rentals. And there are certain times where, you know, you may end up with a rental. Other times you might opt just to turn around and sell it again, seller financing, and create some notes. So it really is a case-by-case basis. But David Tilney, I saw him at dinner in Las Vegas, and just a you know, I wish I would have talked to him 5 years ago. I wouldn't have sold the 22 properties we had built up. And there are just a few little tweaks that he gave me just in a dinner conversation, you know, that you'd continue to have these cash flowing assets producing some passive income for you. So anyway, other questions, guys? Oh, thank you, Gary. That's another good resource. I forgot Jeffrey Taylor. Yeah, MrLandlord.com for the recording. Let's get that up there, and John, let's tag that as a resource as well. Thank you so much for sharing that. Appreciate that. All right, guys. Well, that is there one more slide there? We finished up there. I think we're done on that, right? Any other questions?
We wanted to make sure that we allowed everybody the opportunity to ask any questions, and if they're not comfortable to asking their questions online, then they can always hit me up offline.
Very good. And just so you guys know, as we update this, this will be posted as a checklist in the members area, and as we make updates to it, right, we'll look at that, and just on a monthly basis, we'll just, if there's been any updates, or even more frequent if they're key additions, we'll make sure and add that there, and you'll see that just continue to get improved. And we appreciate there's several of you that have chimed in with some resources and questions, and we'll just continue to add those. So it becomes, you know, really the power of the group and the mastermind. So appreciate the input.
Another comment to that.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, to piggyback off of that, you know, we've talked about it in previous trainings and workshops. These are all, you know, living, breathing docs. So, you know, just as Travis said, we're always making updates and changes. So please check back. Another reason to be engaged in the members area and checking back with resources, you know, there is occasion that we may not have sent an update out notifying you that we made updates to a particular document. So, you know, please check back frequent and often, and we'll continue to do the best we can to keep you apprised of it as well. Go ahead, Kristen.
Well, I just wanted to mention that there were two hotline submissions that just didn't make the slide deck, because the slides had to be turned in before the hotline submissions came over. So I can add those to the next call, or I'm not sure how you want to do it.
Well, let me just say this. So we have... we want to be able to get to anyone's submissions that come in. If they get sent like within 2 hours of the call, it's very difficult for us to get to them. Early in the morning on the day of the call, but possibly we could do it, but what we want to set as a precedent for everybody, if you've got something that comes in and you need immediate help on it, send it over, mark it urgent. We'll try to turn it around as quickly as possible, but to get it on the call, we had one that came in, and I looked briefly at the email, and literally it was like time to come get on the webinar. So that wouldn't be something where we could get it on here, but great, great stuff for case studies that we do want to include, the submissions that came in. So we will be reaching out to both of you who submitted a hotline submission and just talking directly with you. And then if it's something where, you know, we feel like it's something that needs to be brought to the group, with your permission, we'll do that. So we'll be reaching out to you individually. So I'm looking here. I don't see any other questions. In terms of Gloria, this is a good question. You're trying to property manage remotely. And the answer is yes and no. You know, so that's you know, we're just getting a feel for a couple of vendors. I do manage a couple of other properties remotely, and it's worked. But at the same time, I've been strongly cautioned, you know, against that, and there's reasons for it. So, yeah, that's a loaded question. But you know, so yes, the answer is we have been doing that so far. But we do have some pretty reliable boots on the ground helping us in a few key areas. So anyway, all right, guys, if
hey,
there's
Travis,
no other questions,
hey,
go ahead.
Oh, Travis, I just wanted to say it's not up for conversation. You don't let them know that you're not in the area. You know, they don't need to know where you're managing the property from.
Yeah, and there's actually ways that's another topic for another day, but there's ways to set up that separate entity. So we're just in the process of creating that separate business entity that will hold a lot of these properties that we take back. Literally, you're transitioning to a completely different department now. You know, an REO department, and are you going to end up holding them? Where's it going to go? So those are things you'll continue to hear more about on structure. We'll have some people on the board of advisors, some of these experts that come in and just talk to us. Okay, here's how we recommended we got structured and why, and we'll be sharing that with you guys. So very good. All right, guys, anything else, Aaron, that you thought of while we're just before we close off, or Kristen? Any last-minute questions to get in?
I think we're good. Again, as Travis said, if you have anything urgent or questions that just that didn't get posted or that we didn't get to, please drop us an email after. Or if you're still on the line, just go ahead and chat that over, and we'll do the best we can to answer that. So we want you guys to be engaged and, you know, all learn together. And it's a great time when we have, you know, 20-plus people on a call to use that leverage. So.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things I really enjoyed about the Uber conference line that we're trying to bring to the webinar, because we want to be able to show our screen at the same time and go through stuff as needed, but we were able to quickly, it just seemed as though people, we could chime in, you know, a little bit easier and get involved there. So whether it's raising your hand on this technology, we'll find out between now and next week. I know if you're on the phone, we do have people that call in from the phone, and just so you can get your questions answered, and if we want to just unmute you and talk to you, we'll do some more of that as well. So, all right, guys, we will be in touch next week. If there's anything urgent between now, we do have our workshop next week, so there won't be a Wednesday webinar, but the following week, 14 days from today, is our case study corner that we do monthly. So we'll have at least three new case studies from members, which I'm very excited about. And then we've got a couple new ones that have just been inked that we want to share too. So we'll just, time permitting, get through as many as we can, and definitely a call you guys don't want to miss. So we'll get you the information on that about 24 hours, you know, to 48 hours before, so you can jump on and see those. So email us if you have any other questions as well. Thanks so much. Bye now.
Bye-bye.